Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. We have an incredible show for you. Kenny and Tom Bergasser are here, and if you think that you have a large collection of Disney collectibles, my friend, I beg to differ with you because these two gentlemen, have the largest, most incredible collection of Disney collectibles on the planet, and we are so excited to be able to talk to them today. Kenny, Tom, welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having us. We appreciate it. Yeah. Kenny's my grandson, and he's the guy that's going to probably take over this whole thing eventually.
But I love it. It's not just as much as he does, if not more. So it's an amazing collection. I'm very lucky to be able to see it as much as I want, honestly. So I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Well, really, thanks for posting the videos, because I saw the videos on Facebook and I was like blown away. I was like, wow. I thought I had a lot of stuff, but I think I've been mistaken. I've been living a lie all this time.
Well, let me tell you, you don't want to dust it all either.
It was interesting because we'll get into that later. But let me ask this first question before we get really far down that road. So, you have to be a Disney fan to have a collection like that. So, really, when did you become a real Disney fan? When was your first visit? You know, how did Disney get into your life?
Well, our first visit was back in 1974. Matter of fact, my wife and I and our two daughters, Linda and Lori, we went down. We drove down. Never been to Disney World at all. It was at Easter, and of course you know what Easter means, crowds. But we stayed off property because we didn't know where else to stay. I mean, it was our first venture and made the arrangements, I think it was through, matter of fact, the AAA, if I'm not mistaken. And we were there for 3 or 4 days, drove down, drove back home, and I was in awe. Because you got to remember, my younger daughter was at that point 6 years old, and I think Linda was 8. So they also, of course, were in awe, too. But I was more so, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, you heard of Mickey Mouse, and you watch the cartoons, you watch the Mickey Mouse Club and all that good stuff. But you really didn't know really what was down there. And when we came back, I said, we got to keep going. And we've been going ever since. Sometimes we go 2-3 times a year, sometimes once. It really got hot and heavy when the grandkids came, Kenny being the first, and there's two others after him, and Kenny's born in 1992. Mm-hmm. So one of the highlights, though, I think, of our first visit was the Easter parade, and Sharon and I, my wife Sharon and I, were sitting down at the end of Main Street with the two girls, and they were dressed identically. Suddenly, three people come over and grab the girls away from us, and I'm going, where are you going with my kids, you know? And they wanted them to take a picture for the newspaper, for some local newspaper for Easter with Mickey and Minnie. With Mickey and Minnie. So they took the pictures, and afterwards, and I've got the picture in my room. Maybe one of the shows will talk about it or show it, you know, on the video. And I was able to go back to the office, which was above the town hall. It took us above the firehouse. Excuse me. That building over there, the customer relations, and they took my name and address and all the good stuff, and they mailed us the picture, but it never hit the newspaper. And when we got the picture in the mail, I know why. You know, basically, I got the picture right here. I knew why it didn't hit the paper, because too many other people got into the picture. But we still have that picture today here in the Disney room.
Wow.
And it's pretty neat.
You've got it in his hand right now. I'm looking it up. Yep. Yeah.
But that's how we started, believe it or not, and if you want to say a start, but that's my first time down there. And, of course, Sharon and I went down for the 25th and all that other stuff, but the kids started going. Kenny was born in 92. We were there in 93. And we've been going ever since. We bought into the, we have the timeshare,
the Disney Vacation Club.
So we've had that since 1993.
Oh, wow.
And it's a lot easier to go down there and walk out without a hotel bill, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But that's fun, and the grandkids will enjoy it after I'm gone because it's good until 2042. So I think they'll be enjoying it. So that's how we got started. A little lengthy, Robbie, to get around the train track, but everybody has a starting point, and that was our starting point.
Right. So as another DVC member, what's your home resort, Tom?
Old Key West.
Oh, really? Wow.
So yeah, that was one of the originals.
Yeah, so yeah. You joined fairly early in the program then.
1993.
Yeah, wow.
Biggest rooms on the property.
Yeah.
Probably enjoy it. That's where we usually stay too.
So starting to ask about the collection. Could you tell us when you got started and how that all came to be when you started collecting all the Disney items?
Came to be when we went down the first time with Kenny, and I think it was 1993. And I saw these three little pigs at one of the stores. And I asked them, and I saw they had advertising pieces, et cetera, for classics, you know, the Walt Disney Classic Collection and all that. And I asked them what it was. And they told me, I bought the three pigs. And the young lady, and guy, of course, I had the brochures and everything else. And the young lady there said, I said, you know, she told me there was the Big Bad Wolf. There was, I think it was limited, 7,500. And she said, you're going to find that one probably hard to get. Well, she was right. But I got it. Took me a long time to get it. I got it out of Rhode Island, believe it or not. And from that point on, I hooked myself up with a few dealers, one up in Caribou, Maine, a couple here in Buffalo. Very hard in Buffalo. They were selling the product, and it wasn't done by Inesco at that time. I think it was Schmidt. And but I worked my way through the crowd, and I built a network. I traveled the whole East Coast for a major insurance company. And every town I went into, and I got into a lot of towns in the East Coast going from Maine all the way down. And I'd always find a Disney store or the store that sold collectibles. And I started to build this collection and start to ask questions. And it all started with the Big Bad Wolf, believe it or not. And it's gone from there. And it's gotten out of, sometimes I tell myself it's gotten out of control. Because it's out of control.
So it's grown from just the three little pigs and the Big Bad Wolf.
Three little pigs. I think we got probably, I counted, I have every piece done up until probably 2 years ago.
Wow.
They stopped. Wow. When they stopped and then I didn't have any more room, believe it or not. I mean, I had boxes in the house for years before we added on to the house.
Right. And we've only shown the one room. There's an entire other bedroom upstairs that has shelves and pieces, and it's all themed Disney, and that's going to be an awesome thing to be able to share with everybody. But these pieces, I mean, not to be biased or anything, but I mean, they are gorgeous. The Classics Collection pieces are gorgeous, and I don't, you know, there's not many pieces that are made like this anymore.
Oh, not at all.
And, I mean, they're the first of its kind. We're looking at the old fact sheet right now that was, you know, when you first joined the society here, the Classics Collection Society, and it said the Walt Disney Classics Collection is the first major line of fine animation sculptures introduced by Disney to capture magical, memorable moments from Disney animated films and short cartoons. I mean, that's just awesome.
Right.
I don't know. It's cool. It's the first line, you know, the first major line to introduce these kind of, you know, things to the market. And, I mean, we have it seen by, you know, there's the Small World pieces, the Big Bad Wolf. I mean, Lion King, it's everything. It's unbelievable how many different pieces there are.
It's every set. We've probably got well over 600 pieces.
Wow.
And all the boxes were the challenge. What do you do with the box?
Yeah, the big boxes, I've seen some of them.
Yeah, I have a three-car garage, and I was in Disney many years ago, I had a fellow put a floor upstairs above the garage where all the boxes are.
Wow.
And it's full.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, not everybody may know, but can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what the Disney Classic Collection Society was and, you know, how it worked and does it still exist today if somebody wanted to go, you know, join?
I didn't know it does.
Yeah.
I don't think it does. It does not, because luckily I won a free membership for life, and then they changed and dropped it.
Wow.
Yeah, I still have the letter. I called, but sorry, bud. Keep the letter. First thing I ever won in my life. I think it started back in 1992, and it's grown. I went to many of the conventions. They had five really good Walt Disney Classic conventions.
Right.
Most one in California, one on the boat, and three down in Florida. I'll tell you, you met a lot of people. I mean, I got a lot of memories. The other day when Kenny told me we were going to be doing this, I went down the cellar just to pick out the pictures and stuff we had from all these years. It's unbelievable. Right. I mean, the people you meet, and I still talk to people, and people still send me stuff.
And I think that's one of the things about this collection, and I'm sure it's preaching to the choir for you guys. The Disney community, the fans are unbelievable. It's the best people we've ever met.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons we wanted to do this and begin to share it is so, you know, especially for my grandpa, is that he could reach next with some of these folks that he saw at the conventions, right? I mean, a lot of them have Facebook. A lot of them can share the video, comment. I mean, there's people who have commented on the videos that say, hey, I remember that convention. You know, maybe they met there or whatnot.
Right.
But, you know, unfortunately, I was too young to go to these, but I would, you know, I would kill to go. I mean, I would love to go to one of these conventions. I mean, D23 is, I mean, the big fan convention now, but they were nothing, you know, to the, I mean, it was more of a personalized experience with these conventions. And they were a great thing, I guess. And I guess he can speak more to the conventions themselves.
You know, the conventions were, I mean, I got to meet Mark Davis,
right,
his wife Ann,
yep,
Catherine Beaumont. But these pieces that are in here, I've got all the numbered ones. I've got some artist proofs that were done. I saw recently on a couple of the websites. What I'm finding, I think, is a lot of younger people are getting into this and out in the marketplace trying to find the pieces. Because you see a lot of that. And there's one came up. I'm looking at it right now. I don't know if you guys ever knew the Soups On piece. I don't know if you ever saw it. We haven't showed it on the video yet. It's called Soups On. It's from Snow White. It's all the dwarfs around the dinner table.
That's right, yeah.
And that piece was cut from the movie.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
And somewhere in this house, I've been frantic, I have a video of the cut piece because they sent it to us.
It's in D23, I think, just put it on their site or what was it on? Richard Sherman was just recently talking about it because he had done a song for that piece that got cut.
Yeah.
Well, and he, okay, there was a video of them all eating the soup around a table.
Yeah. Yep. Because Kenny's a charter D23, so that's his job now to find it. But I still want to find the video, of course. But I've got you know, a lot of I don't know what you wanted to talk about the pieces. I mean, I got them all broken down by series. You know, Silly Symphony.
Right.
You know, Beauty and the Beast, Dalmatians. The Dalmatians is a cute piece.
Yeah.
All the pieces in there. And I love Jack Skelton, that piece up on top, those pieces. And the Small World. I got every piece that was made in Small World.
Wow. So how many pieces did they release per year? Was it one per month or was it more than that?
No, it varied. I think what happened, in the beginning it was sort of tight. That's why it was hard to get some of these pieces. But I'd say in the end, they were releasing a lot of pieces, which maybe I don't think they should have. They were starting to duplicate themselves with different scenes, you know?
Right.
But I'd say you've got a good 10, 15 pieces a year.
Don't you get a magazine or you get it?
The magazine was called Sketches, and that was produced by the Collector Society. And we got one of those four times a year, and it would show you all the pieces that would be coming out. If you ever get a copy of one, it's the one from the year 2000. It was the number 4 at the end of the year, the last quarter of the year. They did an article on me with this room. They called it A Labor of Love. And we had pictures in there, and we had a little talk, et cetera. But they published it in the Sketches magazine.
Yeah, that was very cool. I remember
back in 2000. And that's when it really was at its heyday. Things were really rolling out. You know, you got the limit. The most important, I say not valuable. I shouldn't use the word valuable. That's a bad word. The most sought after. You might find today are the Field Mouse, because they made two of that. Touching and non-touching, they called it. Cinderella's Dress. I got that out of Maine on a secondary market. That's how hard that was to get. And that's when they were making 5,000 limited. towards the end, you will be getting limited to 500. And you really had to know somebody to get in there and get those limiteds that were 500. Or if you go to the convention, you would get them there also. But one of the pieces I bought was the coach from Cinderella. They had to deliver three of them to me because every time, it's so big, every time you delivered it, the coachman was broke. In the box that came from Disney. So they only made 1,000 of them. It's a piece that we're going to show probably on the next episode. We just did the one tonight we're going to put on after the show here. And it's awesome. Can't get near it. I don't let anybody even near it. I'm afraid, you know,
right,
they'll hit it or something else. But
Is there one specific piece that you had to we've talked about a couple of pieces that were difficult. What was the one piece that was the most difficult to track down, and or one that had a really good story for you tracking it down?
The Big Bad Wolf. That was the one. That was the hardest. That was the hardest to get. There was one, as I think I told you before, there was one in Buffalo. I went into the store. The dealer had it on display. I said, I'd like to buy that. He said, you can't. Every piece that you buy from us, we'll put your name in a raffle and we'll have a raffle. I said, are you kidding me? So I had one there and I couldn't even buy it unless I won a raffle. Good buy it. And it was 7,500 of those produced, along with another 7,500. They called them a short tooth and a long tooth one. And that was the hardest to track. It really was. The dress was relatively easy. The field mouse was relatively easy. Donald Duck stepping out, those were some of the early ones. Was relatively easy to get. At the end, they were all relatively easy to get the last 5-6 years of it, because you were on Now the List and you got it ahead of time and you could order it directly or get right over there to the store. I think what happens a lot of times, people now today are trying to get all their collections together and find the pieces they didn't get.
Right.
Or new people are coming into this and trying to get the sets. But it can become a very expensive proposition.
Yeah.
You know. And collecting anything can become an expensive proposition.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, you're limited to what you can do, and sometimes you're forced that you got to get to that secondary market if you can't get it right away. But I've only had to purchase 2 pieces out of the secondary market, and that was back in 93, and maybe the early part of 94. But the rest of them I got through dealers, or I had people I knew that lived in certain towns, they go over and see if it was in their store, et cetera. Again, my advantage, I was able to be traveling, so I could, it put me in a position of strength really to be able to get, hopefully, everything I got. And, we've had a few pieces break, come right off the shelf, and 3 pieces went down off the shelf once, and fortunately, I had duplicates for it, thank God. My grandkids have a collection, at least my 2 grandsons. They have a lot of the stuff that I have. Sometimes I bought 3.
Wow.
So the other great piece is the Hitchhiking Ghost. That's probably the, I love that piece. And as you said, you go through the ride, there they are.
Right.
Dealing with you. But that was the first classic collection. I think we talked about that before.
And that pin from that collection.
Oh.
The Haunted Mansion dangling pin with the logo from the convention and the 3 ghosts dangling. I've looked that up too. That is one of the most sought after Disney pins ever made.
Sure.
And they were selling them, what, for $10 at the convention, right? Yeah. So you buy it, you don't know what you're buying, right? They're so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hot pin. That's still a hot pin today.
Yeah. So what was the first item that they released, when they started this whole society?
I'm thinking it's the Field Mouse.
Okay.
What is it?
Yeah, it was the Field Mouse, that series.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I'm pretty sure. I mean, again, remember, I got into it after it had started, maybe by 6 or 7 months, so I was catching up. But I think it was the Field Mouse was in the Bambi series anyway. The Field Mouse and which they called me Flower, basically.
Right.
It was Bambi and Flower, and the Field Mouse were in that first, and they were limited editions of 7,500 and 10,000. That, I think, was the first. Or the Cinderella's dress. They both have the same Music Club marking on the bottom, so they were. That was the first editions that did come out, and then it went from there. I never really cataloged. I mean, I could get out all my old sketches someday and probably try to figure out, or just look on the bottom of the pieces, because every year they marked them different.
Oh, really?
And Oh yeah, the first one was, what's that musical thing on the, I don't even know what you call it, Ken. Then you had can't even remember them anymore. The wheel was one. The flower. Everyone had their own marking. You could tell them by year. They said, again, it's been so long. I've been doing this, you know, for what, 25 years.
Right.
It's, you forget, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Because it gets too overwhelming for me. Sometimes it overwhelms me. So I have to sometimes stop and think about it. But it's great. You got to be here to see it, believe it or not. The videos, that's why Kenny wanted to do the videos. He said, let's do some videos. I said, well, you know, people don't want to see videos. They're out, you know, they have their own collections, et cetera. And he says, no, let's see what kind of interest we get. And I'll tell you, that first one we did, I was shocked when he did that panorama.
Right.
That the comments and the likes and the views that it did get.
Right.
So I guess it's the Walt Disney Classic Collection is still alive. That's right. As it always will be.
Yeah.
When you were more actively seeking out these other pieces, how concerned was there a big market for counterfeit pieces? I'm assuming that all the pieces come with a certificate. All the pieces come with authenticity documents.
Right.
Did you ever have to deal with counterfeit pieces? Was that ever a big issue?
No, I haven't. Luckily, everyone I bought had the certificate and the box and the certificate of authenticity. Everyone. So I didn't even. I even think that people would try to duplicate it. But I guess that's a little market in itself, right?
Along with
the pins, I think I heard that they do that with the pins too.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that's why Disney was putting those markings on the bottom. Besides the year, it was to also probably to keep the fakes and the frauds out of the mix.
But good point. The first one never bring that up on the counterfeiting, but I'm sure it was out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, I've been around certain communities enough to where, you know, if anybody can make a quick buck making something counterfeit, they'll probably do it.
Yeah.
The one question I had, though, changing the subject slightly, completely practical. Watching the video, my first thought was, holy cow, that's amazing. I was jealous. I'm not going to lie. I was very jealous. But my next thought was very practical. Just on average, how long does it take you to dust all of those pieces?
I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to bring it up. We do it twice a year. Now, my wife said the other night, you know, at the end of the month, we got to take once a year, we take every piece off the shelves. Now, these are glass shelves. They're, they're 3/8 thick. The glass is heavy. And we have to take every piece off. So we take them by shelf. She washes the glass. I dust them off with a makeup brush. And then we have to put them back on. It takes 3 days.
Wow.
Three days up and down. You do one side, then we do the other. We do it twice a year. I said nobody saw the dust in the video, but she still wants to take them back and clean them again. So,
that's what my wife was saying.
Get a hair dryer, blow the dust off. I don't know. It's aggravating. I'll be very honest with you. But we do it, and it's coming up. First one for this year, because we did it last year twice. And you can see the dust. The dust is on there.
Right.
But that's the labor of love, you know?
Yeah.
If you're going to display it, you got to make it look presentable.
Right.
And it does. It really is. I love it, you know? I'm a kid at heart, you know, even though I'm up there. But you always, you know, you look around and it always brings back a lot of memories, especially the Mickey Mouse Club.
I like those too. Anytime you see...
No, go ahead.
Anytime you could get Mickey in a band leader outfit, I'm into that. That's one of my favorite Mickeys.
Yeah, I just found my 10 videos that I had of all the shows from 1955. Disney produced them. I finally found them. I had them. And there's 10 sets of videos from 1955 through 19. When did it end? I had the videos out here today. But there's 10 videos.
VHS is, by the way.
These are VHSs. So forget it, guys. You don't want to watch.
Hey, I still have a VHS player I can use.
You better life I do. But I do have one. I have one that's, and I got to find it, but it's here, from the Mickey Mouse Club that was just Annette dancing in a ballerina dress in color.
Wow.
It's around. I just got to keep digging for it. I know I have it, though. One of my greatest things is we were at a convention. You want me to talk about this? I don't know what you want to do. With out in California for the Blast from the Past. It was one of the classic collections. We stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. And I took my old Mickey Mouse Club record, the old big 33 and a third RPM.
Right.
Because I knew some of them were going to be there. And one of the afternoons, Sharon and I went out of the auditorium. We were sitting outside in the lobby in the back. It wasn't the front lobby. And I hear some guy pounding on the back door. I look up and I said, Sharon, it looks like the UPS guy. I'll let him in. I can't get in. I go over and it's Bobby Burgess.
Wow.
And I said, well, you're not the UPS guy. I said, but come on over. I've been waiting to meet you. Now, we're the only ones that got him right now. He sat down. We talked for about 15 minutes. And he signed my record.
Wow.
And I got that upstairs. And one of the key things with his signature, he puts a Zorro in there. That's how we always signed after he put a Z for Zorro, which I never knew. But that was pretty cool because, you know, we're all both the same age or roughly in the same age bracket, et cetera, you know. And who thought I would get there because he was there for a signing. Well, I got him to sign before everybody else got him to sign. So that was a little challenge. That was fun.
You know, you were talking about the dusting and the presentation and, you know, from the videos. So how is everything presented? I know you have – it almost looks like there's custom shelves in the room or, you know, I know you have some glass towers. But so how did you put that room together? Where did you get all the
– I had an interior decorator. I hired an interior decorator who came in, knew what I wanted to do, hired a guy to build these cabinets. I mean, these cabinets are – good custom-made cabinets, and they're putting them in new homes still up here. The people, you know, they pay a pretty good buck for them, and not to say that I had to pay a pretty good buck, but everyone has its own shelf. There's probably in the room 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 28, 4, 50, about 65 shelves. And then if you saw the first one, I don't know, did you see the displays that were on shelves in the middle of the room?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I got those from a Lobby Hobby.
Hobby Lobby.
They were selling their display shelves this past summer. I went and bought them. $50 a piece. Couldn't beat the deal.
Yeah. They're glass. They look like they're glass.
They're glass.
Yeah.
Well, I had to take them apart in the store, and I had to put them back together.
Wow.
But I needed them because we haven't shown the big one that we got here. It's probably got about 200 pieces on it. And it was one of their bigger ones, and we had to take it apart and put it back together. But everything's done by series, except maybe a few pieces that they made that they didn't really go and complete a series.
Yeah.
They had a few, like the Tribute Series or the Reluctant Dragon, Slukutsu they made, you know. And so we got those up on a shelf and just put them together, as you might say. But those are the ones. I do have a piece in the old Disneyana convention. It was all in glass. We'll show that probably a couple of episodes down because it's on the other wall. But I was at the last Disneyana convention in Epcot, and that's where we picked up a lot of stuff. But that's a lot of it's upstairs because the Disneyana really wasn't the classic. So basically, there wasn't any classic pieces at that point. I did take the grandkids. 8 of us went, and that was pretty nice. Yeah, we had a good time.
And I think a lot of things with these pieces, especially when I was younger coming through these, like I recognized immediately what scenes these are from, the movies. I mean, that was what's cool about these pieces. It's not just like, for example, Jafar just standing. It's Jafar, you know, taking the, you know, doing something from the movie. Each of these pieces are from specific scenes from the movie. And you can tell exactly that scene. And when I was little, I would have my favorite pieces, you know, because they were my favorite movies at the time.
Right.
So, it was cool to see him in real life, you know, after watching the movie.
I was able to get 3 pieces. I don't know, maybe you didn't see them in the thing. Moving animation. I don't know if you ever saw the moving animation cells to music.
I don't think
they're,
I have.
One scene, but they're pretty neat. We'll show them on the next one. I keep telling Kenny I want to show them. And he goes, we'll do the others. We've got one that's the Sorcerer's Apprentice. We've got Steamboat.
And then there's the Tinkerbell
one. And yeah. Tinkerbell one. There was one other made, Winnie the Pooh, I didn't get. But these are moving animation. They're unbelievable. They really are. And if you want to send Kenny your email, he can, you know, before we do the room, he can take a picture of it or, you know, video it and send it to you, you know?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, they would.
They're neat. I've never seen them before. Yeah, these are the only ones I've ever seen. I don't know why I bought them, where I bought them, et cetera. But they're pretty nice. They really are. And they're well preserved.
All right, I'm going to ask you a crazy question. And this is probably like trying to pick your favorite kid, but do you have any favorites in your collection?
Yeah. Well, I'd say the dress I like. I always migrate to the dress. Cinderella's dress. Mm-hmm. I'll migrate to the wolf because of the challenge. I'll migrate any of the pieces that were early on. You know, some of the early on pieces. Silly Symphony. That whole Silly Symphony.
Yeah. Set,
I love. I really do. I've got some of the APs that I got. I like the ones that were APs. I was fortunate. The only way you got an AP piece in the classics is if you were in a drawing.
Then is that an artist group for that AP?
Yeah, artist for folks. Artist group. Yeah, for folks. That's right. The Hitchhiking Ghost definitely ranked right up there in the top 10. Definitely. And along with the coach, the Cinderella coach, and I'm just looking around. Pirates of the Caribbean pieces are awesome.
Yeah, the Pirates are gorgeous. We still haven't showed those, but they are gorgeous.
They are. They are so big.
Were these done by, you spoke about like Mark Davis, were they done by the Disney artists that originally did those characters, or would they, hand them off to the Disney group and the Disney group would do them?
Right, they handed them off. It was Dusty Horner.
Yeah.
And those guys, they were all handed off. As I said, I know Dusty Horner was a big one. I can't pronounce the other guys, so I'm trying to think of them. You caught me short on that one. But they were all handed off. I can't remember it, so I'm also trying to guess it. Simon or something. Mm. Simone.
Okay. Yeah, because there's usually like a Disney design group that usually does the art. After it's in a movie, there's a Disney design group that makes merchandise and things out of all the characters.
And I think probably that was the group.
Yeah.
It was all in-house. This wasn't but the pieces were manufactured by Schmidt or Hensko, et cetera. Disney just, contracted with them, I'm sure, to have this done. I can't remember the names. I apologize. But if I had all my paperwork with me and all these papers I got in bins, I probably could dig it up because every one of the sketches usually had a name in there who was doing the piece, that was coming out or the pieces that were coming out.
Yeah. Have you ever taken the time to catalog everything, like write it down and take a picture of it?
You got to ensure this. As I told you, I had three pieces dropped.
Yeah.
And we're in the process now, he said he's digging up all these magazines and the certificates. We're in the process now of really cataloging all that, and I'm doing a lot of that for him just because, it's a shame to see a lot of it in boxes, and we want to, I want to make sure it's all, in order for him to, if he does want to pick up a piece and look at the details of it, he can do that. So we're doing that now in terms of a lot of the paperwork end of that I, where I can help with that.
Yeah. It became so overwhelming. You were getting pieces, putting the certificates in the box. I mean, they're all in one place. The hardest part will ever be if we ever have to move and sell the house. It'll take 2 years to get the boxes to find the pieces to match them up. It's got to. I mean, I told my wife, I said, you couldn't sell a piece here if you wanted. You can't find the box. It's up in the attic.
Hey,
I'm here to stay till they take me out, right?
I only have two of those. One is a Buzz Lightyear and then the Toy Story marquee that goes with it. That's it. So I know where those two boxes are.
Lucky you.
I don't quite have your same problem.
I have a very good friend of mine up here who also collects.
Right.
I just talked to him the other day. He had He just finally got more cabinets. The closets were full of boxes. Full. Never taken out. He had nowhere to put them.
Yeah.
But he just kept buying. Wow. And so he's got a pretty big, pretty good collection, too, of the stuff. And he and I get together every so often.
And again, I think the cool thing with that is that somebody that, you know, he wouldn't have met without Disney or without these pieces, which I think is the best part of this whole thing and one of the reasons that we wanted to do this, you know, show everybody this collection. I think it's awesome. I think, you know, I didn't really know what the community was out there until we started exploring it and doing it, and we've met a lot of great people already. So.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people out there that never knew this existed, especially the younger people.
Yeah.
The old time collectors, you can figure them out on the internet right away. You know, right. Who's collecting what, but I think it's a younger community, and as I said at the beginning, they're trying to get together and find out and try to get their little series together. I think that's great. They got a tougher job to hold than I do.
Right.
Or I had. Because they got to hunt them down, and that's, you know, and they hunt them down on the internet. As I said, you saw the video, and this is where they're hunting things down, and the couple of websites out there.
Right, we've had people say, you want to trade, you want to buy from us, and, you know, I mean, people want these, you know, they want to find their pieces. They're very passionate about finishing that last piece of their Small World collection or their, you know, their favorite movie or whatever. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of those websites and collecting, is there any sites out there for the younger, just like me, just getting into collecting? Where would I go to find out more information about starting my collection or finding those pieces that I'm looking for, other than, you know, like an eBay or some type of a sales site? Where would I go to find that?
We were actually trying to figure that out ourselves, especially when it comes to the actual classics collection pieces. There's a couple of websites. If you just Google, you know, Walt Disney Classics Collection, there's a few that'll pop up. But in terms of a website that does something that you're describing, you know, my catalog the pieces, you know, maybe give you a price, all that, they're few and far between, at least with, you know, we're finding now. When it comes to this specific stuff, when it comes to this Disney Classic collection pieces, which is the majority of, you know, my grandpa's collection, but I mean, we really just opened our eyes now. We're fairly new to even trying to search to figure this out, but I mean, I think a good thing with our videos is we're trying to show people, you know, the different pieces. And then if they want to, and we've had people message us and say, hey, how do we find this? And we're trying the best we can. But I would, that would be something that we'd have to look more into. Or somebody might, you know, create a site just dedicated to classics. I'm sure it might even exist. But.
Well, there's one out there. Was it Disney Dorks? Or that they sell. You can see on.
Yeah, but there's a lot of different groups that sell pieces, but there's really no groups that are dedicated, you know,
strictly to
classics, right? I mean, they sell all Disney merchandise, you know, from one end of the spectrum to the next in terms of the society. And I was just imagining a group, be it a Facebook group, be it a fan site, be it a podcast, what have you, of just the collectors, a site. Or a podcast or a show that talks about the pieces, that talks about like what you got with the thrill of the hunt, you know, bringing folks with very cool stories about how they got certain pieces.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would be a very entertaining thing because you don't really see that. You hear a lot about the parks, you hear about a lot of, you know, about the movies, but about the collectors, right? The passion behind Disney.
Yeah.
Really are the collectors now and all that.
You know, someday I would love to really be able to put through who is the average Disney classic collection collector by demographics, by age, male, female. That from the conventions, I want to say it was more female than male that were hot and heavy into it.
Right.
That's just my observation from going to those five conventions, those particular conventions. But far and few between, as I said, the older ones, you know, it's the younger ones that really. What's the website that we use that they saw this on? Walt Disney Classics.
Yeah, there's a Facebook group that we just found that we've been sharing our videos with. But I mean, in terms of that, I mean, it's very limited in the scope that we're sharing our videos. And then we started a Facebook page, Largest Disney Classics Collection, that we're just trying to. And the reason is, it's not a shameless plug of what I'm doing, but we literally just want to show people what we have. You know, after all the time of it sitting in this room and, you know, with the internet and videos and Facebook, and now that my grandpa's on Facebook, which is, you know, crazy at the same time, you know, but he, because he's still getting the hang of it. But, you know, it's cool. He gets excited. I can see it, you know, in his eyes when somebody comments and he replies. You know, it's cool to see that from my perspective.
Right.
It's awesome.
I agree.
When we end the video saying that, you know, he's having just as much fun. I mean, he's being truthful. He's having more fun than anybody probably making these.
Yeah. So now's your time to give us your shameless plug. So where can people find the videos?
All right.
So go.
Sure thing. So right now what we've been really doing is that we've been posting on our Facebook page. And I'll pull up the specific page that they can search on Facebook. It's Largest Disney Classics Collection. If you just search that on the top, all separate words, Largest Disney Classics Collection. The cover photo is a picture of the room. The profile picture is a picture of the room. And we've been posting each episode with a little trivia question or whatnot. We try to share it in the different groups. But the main hub of where we first post them is the Facebook page, Largest Disney Classics Collection. And again, you know, we're doing this for fun. We're doing this to share with the community, you know, and I appreciate you guys for asking us to come on. I can't tell you how excited my grandpa's been to come talk to you guys about it.
Yeah.
I was away for work last week and he must have been sending me 10 texts an hour because I wasn't responding to him right away because he was at it. When we're going to prepare, I mean, he was excited. He loved talking about it. So I appreciate you guys having the time.
No, I mean, like I said, I saw the video and I was like in complete awe. I said, I have to talk to this person because I don't think I've ever seen a collection that large. I mean, I've seen people's a couple shelves, but not a whole room.
And if ever there's an opportunity where you guys want to have us, do a video call with you guys and can take you through the room and talk about a couple pieces so you can, your viewers, your folks, or have a video for you guys to help you guys. You know, we'd love to do these things with you guys too. I mean, any way that we can, you know, reach out to the community and share our collection with folks.
Yeah.
Someday we might take you upstairs to see the second room. That's right. That was.
Is that the inner sanctum?
Yeah. Inner sanctum, right? It's worse. Trust me. Not classic. It's all other Disney stuff that's not classic.
Oh wow!
Right.
Wow.
And then don't even get started with the pins. That was his other craze that he got on. Oh, my Lord.
Well, you can take us upstairs, but you're going to have to buy us dinner first.
That's right. You got to buy us dinner first. Thank God I'm on a diet. As I said, Kenny said, the pins. You get into the pins. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We don't even go there. I mean,
That's another podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a different podcast. It's about
Gosh.
Did you see it in that podcast? Did you see the ones that we sent out? Did you see that clock?
Yes.
That was in the middle of the room?
Yes.
That was sold at the same place I bought the chairs down in Disney, in the old downtown Disney animation place years ago. I didn't buy it there. I bought it up here in Buffalo at a furniture store.
Wow.
They had it. And that thing is, and we had the rug that's in the middle. The rug was made, I think, in North Carolina by the interior decorator, had it made there for the true Disney red and all that other stuff.
Right.
In the middle of the room. But that was the centerfold of the room for years and years. The room's about 22 by 20.
Wow.
And I went out to the back of the house. We got the Bob Barker marionettes that are hanging up someday when we ever get up high to show that. Those are pretty nice too. But the classics excel. As I said, when we get through the next episodes, which probably will be about five or six more, because I'm just looking at the other side of the room and the ones in the middle on the shelves. We just did one. What we've done so far is just like one wall.
Right.
Wow.
And I'm not bragging, please. I'm just proud of what we got, and we stuck to it. We didn't quit.
Right.
You know, that's the point. If you don't quit, you're going to, you know, you'll get the final result. You know,
right.
Yeah. Which sometimes you wonder, but we did it.
Yeah. Well, I have to thank you guys for coming on, and we are going to take you up on that video offer because we kind of do like a little video thing too. So we're going to take you up on that. We'll have to figure out some logistics, and then we'll get in touch with you. But I'm telling you guys, you have to go Google this on Facebook and search for their videos, because it's mind-blowing. And once again, I thank you, Tom. I thank you, Kenny, for coming on. We really appreciate you taking the time and telling us all about this. You kind of opened up my eyes to a whole new dimension of collecting.
Well, we appreciate you, recognize it. Yeah. I think that's great. That makes me feel great.
That means we did it right. We're doing something right.
Yeah.
And we've lost to have, as long as we can reach out to your community and share this with you guys, do that works, that works for us. And we're more than happy to come on and do that with you guys. Right. So in partnership.
Right.
Hey, we'll have to, we'll also have to find out and coordinate maybe next time you come down. What would be really cool is we do like a monthly get together with all of our, with all of our listeners. Maybe we can have you come down and speak, or just come to a meetup and just talk about collecting.
Yeah.
I mean, our guys would love to talk to you guys about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's something that we've been, this is exactly why we got in with these guys, is to meet the people and talk and see the passion in other people. And that's exactly what we want to do with this. Perfect.
Yep. As we say around here, we will see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you.